नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 15, Text Number 26.
Havirdhani Rishe Darpat Naran Hartum Achodayat Te Cha Mahishmatim Ninyuhu Savatsam Krandatim Balat Havirdhanim Rishardarpan Havirdhanim Rishardarpan Naranhartum Achodayat Naranhartum Achodayat Te cha mahishmatim ninyo Te cha mahishmatim ninyo Savatsam krandatim balat Savatsam krandatim balat Havirdhanim rishardarpan Naranhartum achodayat Te cha mahishmatim ninyo Savatsam krandatim balat
Matajis. Havirdhanim Dekamadhena Rishe of the great sage Jamadagnya Darpat because of his being puffed up with material power Naran all his men, soldiers Hartum to steal or take away Achodayat, encouraged. Te, the man of Kartavirya Arjuna. Cha, also. Mahishmatim, to the capital of Kartaviri Arjuna. Ninyu brought Savatsam with the calf. Krandatim crying. Balat because of being taken away by force. Translation. Being puffed up by material power, Kartaviri Arjuna encouraged his men to steal Jamadagni's Kamadhenu. Thus, the men forcibly took away the crying Kamadhenu along with her calf to Mahishmati, Kartaviri Arjuna's capital. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Havirdhanim is significant in this verse. Havirdhanim refers to a cow required for supplying havis, or ghee, for the performance of ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices. In human life, one should be trained to perform yagyas. As we are informed in Bhagavad Gita 3.9, yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. If we do not perform yagya, we shall simply work very hard for sense gratification like dogs and hogs. This is not civilization. A human being should be trained to perform yagya. Yagyat bhavati parjanya. If yagyas are regularly performed, there will be proper rain from the sky, and when there is regular rainfall, the land will be fertile and suitable for producing all the necessities of life. Yagya, therefore, is essential. For performing yagya, clarified butter is essential, and for clarified butter, cow protection is essential. Therefore, if we neglect the Vedic way of civilization, we shall certainly suffer. So-called scholars and philosophers do not know the secret of success in life, and therefore they suffer in the hands of Prakriti, nature. Prakritaih kriyamanani gunaih karmani sarvashah. Nonetheless, although they are forced to suffer, they think they are advancing in civilization. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore meant to revive a mode of civilization in which everyone will be happy. This is the motive of our Krishna consciousness movement. Yagye sukhena bhavantu. Havirdhanim rishar darpan naran hartum achodaya techa mahishmatim ninyu savatsam krandatim balat. Being puffed up by material power, Kartaviri Arjuna encouraged his men to steal Jamadagni's Kamadhenu. Thus, the men forcibly took away the crying Kamadhenu along with her calf to Mahishmati, Kartaviri Arjuna's capital. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganaragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nakachin may my dusha sadhuasa saya swamodam vahetur nirupaditripa bhagavata. Prabhutvam vahi ne pyudaiti adadyam prahasitam. Iti etvanandam pratipadamidam dokshati satam. Kvejam sabhaguna vativatam ugdarupa kvaham jitusmu guru naguru gauravena adyam amadyam sharanam sharanam gatanam dattot savasya karuna karunarna vasya kvaham mandamatir jadeda nigata shrutyadi shastragamo vidya tatva viveka nirmaladiyam vakti kva vishvashitu svam chittam apitat pramarshtam atatam vigyatu kama apyaham kurve sahasam idrishanya dehatat kshantum mahantorhatam Drishtam na shastram gurava na prishta vivechitam na api buddhai svabudhya yata tata jalpatu bala bhava tata pime gaura hari prasidata. My name is Brijbasi Das. I'm from Ukraine and I happen to be a member of the Shastric Advisory Committee to the GBC. So I would like to begin my class by saying that I'm really very honored. It's a great honor for me to speak a little something on the Srimad Bhagavatam in this August assembly of senior exalted Vaishnavas in this holiest of all holy places, Shridham Mayapur. And at first glance, it may seem that the story of Lord Parashurama and Kamadhenu and Jamadagni is not at all related or even connected with the place we are sitting right now. But actually there are some, you could say, Uddipanas even in this story, although Lord Parashurama and Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are seem to be very different avatars, different personalities. We are reading here about Kamadhenu, and in the Padma Purana there is a story how Jamadagni, Parashurama's father, got his Kamadhenu. It is said there in the Uttarakhanda that Jamadagni came to the bank of the Ganga river and was doing austerities for 1,000 years in order to please Lord Indra. And when 1,000 years passed, Lord Indra came to him and asked him, "What do you want from me?" And Jamadagni said, "I want only one thing from you." He said, "Surabhim dehi me deva sarvakama dugham sada." "O Deva, O Lord, give me one surabhi, celestial cow, which will always fulfill my desires." And Lord Indra gave him that boon, he gave him that cow. And in that way, Jamadagni got his Kamadhenu from Lord Indra. So because Surabhi or Kamadhenu is also very prominent here, or at least in one island of Shrinavadvipdham in Godruma, and Lord Indra also participated along with Surabhi in some pastimes here, we know that Surabhi was doing austerity and was worshipping Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu along with Indra in Godruma Dvip, and in this way you could say that this is some kind of Uddipan for remembering Navadvipa Dham even in this story of Lord Parashurama. Besides that, it is interesting that although we know that Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was Gauranga, he was Gaura, he had the golden complexion, according to Rupa Goswami, Lord Parashurama was also Gauranga. He also was Gaura. His body was like molten gold. He was Gaura Vyaktim. So Indra, Surabhi, Ganga, and Parashurama himself, they're some kind of Uddipanas for this Navadvipdham and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then if you take Srila Prabhupada's purport at its face value, and if we take it out of the context of overall teachings of Srila Prabhupada and his instructions in this regard, it may seem to us, we can come to the conclusion that Srila Prabhupada wants us to perform fire sacrifices on a daily basis, and this is our dharma, and this is the essence of Vedic culture. And he even writes in his purport that ISKCON, Krishna Consciousness Movement, is there to revive Vedic culture in which everyone performed fire sacrifices. So perhaps we have to start doing that. We have to perform fire sacrifices every day, morning and evening, different kinds of agnis, garhapatya, avahaniya, dakshinagni, darsha purnamasa, and etc., etc., all the different ritualistic ceremonies. How many of us perform fire sacrifices on a daily basis? Not so many. So then the question comes, do we actually follow Srila Prabhupada or not? He wants us, at least in this purport, to perform fire sacrifices, and he says that we need ghee for fire sacrifices, and in order to get ghee, we need cows, and therefore cow protection is essential. Therefore, cows are very important for us. But if we look at this purport from the point of view of Srila Prabhupada's overall teachings and his instructions and the teachings of previous acharyas, we will see that we have to perform sacrifice. We'll have to perform yagya, but a different kind of yagya. The yagya which is specifically prescribed for this age, for Kali Yuga. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we have that famous verse which says, where Karobhajana Muni, one of Lord Shabadeva's sons, he describes different yugas and prescribed dharmas for different yugas to Maharaja Nimi. And he says that in Kali Yuga, intelligent people, Sumedhasaha, they worship the Lord by performing sacrifices, yagyaih. But then he modifies that word yagyaih by sacrifices by saying sankirtana prayaih. They worship the Lord by different yagyas in which sankirtana has the prominent place. And therefore Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that atayeva yadyapi anya bhakti kalau kartavya tadatat sam yogina iveti uktam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada would oftentimes quote this statement from Srila Jiva Goswami's Bhakti Sandarbha. Here Srila Jiva Goswami says that even if we perform different kinds of devotional service, bhakti, kartavya, even then we have to perform them in along with Sankirtana Yagya. We cannot even perform all different other services, different other methods of devotional service without any connection or without Sankirtana Yagya at all. We have to perform Sankirtana Yagya even if we perform different other methods of bhakti. And then, even if we cannot perform other methods of bhakti, even if we can only perform Sankirtana Yagya, that is in itself enough for us. Sankirtana is glorified everywhere as an independent process. And therefore it is said, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama eva kevalam, kalau nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatiranyata. Holy Name is enough, is sufficient in this Kali Yuga. And actually we know from Srila Jiva Goswami's also Bhakti Sandarbha that actually Harinam Sankirtana was very powerful, not only in Kali Yuga, but in all other yugas also. But it was not a prominent process, because people in other yugas, they were sophisticated, and they just couldn't believe that such a simple process, Oshta Spandana Matrina, that you just move your lips and your tongue, and you achieve liberation and love of God, love for God, people will not agree or will not accept this in different yugas. They had to perform different ritualistic ceremonies, very elaborate sacrifices, yagyas, and in that way they would engage themselves. But actually Sankirtana was working, you could say, every time, in every yuga, all places and all circumstances. Another thing, actually Srila Prabhupada showed that in his early career of preaching, when he was taking sannyas, we know that story that when he was taking sannyas in Keshavji Gaudiya Math in Mathura, there was this incident when his godbrother was loudly chanting holy names during the yagya, and the priest was a little nervous because it distracted him, and therefore the priest wanted to the leader of the kirtan to chant silently or to chant softly, but Srila Prabhupada encouraged him, no, go on with your chanting. Also, if you don't perform fire sacrifices, Shishirada Madhava Shtasakya Vrinda Ki, if we don't perform, as we actually do, we don't perform fire sacrifices on a daily basis, if we don't do that, does it mean that we don't need cow protection? Because here in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that cows are needed because we need milk from which we get ghee, and from we can use that ghee in order to make oblations to the fire, to perform fire sacrifices. So it makes sense, if we don't perform fire sacrifices, then we don't need ghee, and if we don't need ghee, we don't need cows. So cow protection is not essential for us, because we are not living in the Vedic age, we don't have Vedic civilization, therefore we don't need cow protection. We may think like that. But actually, this reason which is described by Srila Prabhupada in his purport, this is only one of the many reasons why we need cow protection, actually. And the main reason for cow protection is because Krishna wants it, and Krishna specifically asks for it. Krishna says, Krishi Gorakshya Vanijyam, Vaishya Karma Svabhavajam. Vaishyas, their duty is to protect cows. And even besides that, Krishna is known as Go Brahmana Hita, he who is acting for the welfare of Go, cows, and Brahmanas. Brahmana Hita. Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Therefore, even that is enough for us. Even if we don't perform fire sacrifices, we still need cow protection because Krishna wants it. Krishna loves the cows, therefore we have to protect Krishna's cows in order to please him. Therefore, this is not the main reason which is stated here by Srila Prabhupada why we need cow protection. And actually, there is that famous purport in the sixth canto where Srila Prabhupada describes how he installed the deities in the Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan. He says that there are some people who will not come for some function, for the opening of the temple, if there is no elaborate ceremony, fire sacrifice, chanting of the mantras, etc., etc. And Srila Prabhupada says that even Sankirtana, which was performed by the members of the Hare Krishna movement, was enough. But because people would not recognize this temple as a genuine temple, therefore we had to perform these different ritualistic ceremonies. And many people actually don't have faith in Sankirtana as a sacrifice for this age. But actually, Sankirtana is a yagya. Yagya is, in general, is not simply when you take ghee and you pour the ghee into the fire. This is not the only kind of yagya. Yagya vai Vishnu, it is stated in the Vedas that Vishnu is actually the yagya, and therefore any activity which is performed for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu is yagya. Therefore Lord Krishna says, yagyartat karmano. We have to perform all our activities in this world as a sacrifice to Lord Vishnu, and that is yagya. That is actually yagya, not simply when you take ghee and pour it into the fire. So, but because Sankirtana is also a kind of yagya, one of Lord Chaitanya's biographers, Srila Lochan Das Thakur, he very beautifully describes Sankirtana as an actual yagya. He says in his Chaitanya Mangala that living entities' ears are sacrificial openings, yagya kunda. Our ears are yagya vedya, yagya kunda. The tongue is a sacrificial ladle that you pour the ghee. The sound of Lord Krishna's glories is charming sacrificial ghee. So the sound of Lord Krishna's names or glories is actually that ghee that you pour into the fire. When the ladle of the tongue pours that ghee into the opening of the ears, the ghee enters the heart. In the heart, the ghee adds fuel to the fire of ecstatic love. It makes that fire burn with great flames. The flames of that fire make the body tremble. They make the body's hairs stand erect. Freed from sin in this way, the living entities dance. Salokya and the other kinds of liberation follow behind them. However, the living entities will not cast even a sidelong glance at liberation. Instead, tasting the sweet nectar of Lord Krishna's glories, they joyfully dance. The Vaishnava Acharyas all perform this yagya. Please know that Sankirtana Yagya is the best of all yagyas.
Hare Krishna. This is not the end.
Coming back to our story of Kartavirya Arjuna. His name was actually Arjuna, but because he was a son of Kritavirya, he was called Kartavirya Arjuna. Probably because, just to distinguish him from the other Pandava Arjuna that we know. It's interesting that he came in the Yadu dynasty, and he was remotely connected to Lord Krishna, therefore. He was also in the Yadu dynasty. And he became such a powerful, great mystic yogi, that although Yadu's descendants were cursed by Yayati, that no one of them will become kings in the future, Kartavirya Arjuna became the great king because of Lord Dattatreya's benedictions, as we know from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Dattatreya gave him mercy, both material and spiritual power, and this story is described in more details in other Puranas, especially in Markandeya Purana. It is described how Kartavirya came to Lord Dattatreya and he asked for benediction. And Lord Dattatreya wanted to test him, and he said, "How can I give you any benedictions? Because I cannot control my senses. You can see that I have these different intoxicants here, and this beautiful lady, my wife, is sitting next to me. I enjoy senses, so I cannot give you any benedictions." But Kartavirya, he was warned by Gargamuni and other rishis that Dattatreya will not give you benedictions so easily. He will test you, and you have to pass that test. And therefore, Kartavirya told Lord Dattatreya that actually you're trying to cheat me with your illusion. You want to test me. Therefore, I know that you're actually a great mystic yogi. So please give me your benedictions. And then Lord Dattatreya was very much pleased with Kartavirya Arjuna. He said that you understood my real nature, therefore I will fulfill your desires. What do you desire? And Kartavirya asked four different benedictions, but basically his desire was to become a righteous king. Very powerful, but very moral and very dharmic king. And Lord Dattatreya gave him that benediction. And Kartavirya Arjuna became a very powerful but very righteous king. He was ruling his citizens very properly according to Dharma Shastra, and he even had that law in his kingdom that no one could possess any kind of weapons in his kingdom. Only he, with his thousand hands, he could hold weapons, but not others. And he became such a powerful king that many different authorities, including Narada Muni, they would say that there was no one equal to him in yagya, in performing sacrifices, in dana, in giving charity, in tapas, in performing austerities, in yoga, in mystic powers, shruta, in education, Vedic education, virya, in power, and daya, compassion to other living entities. And he was such a great king that he even once defeated the powerful demon Ravana, as we know from the ninth canto of Bhagavatam. So Ravana was nothing compared to Kartavirya Arjuna. It is said there that Kartavirya punished Ravana just like you punish the monkey, you know. You humiliate him and you punish him. And he enjoyed his senses for almost 100,000 years. He was enjoying his senses. But then, at one point, he became very proud because of his power. He became very proud, and although he had everything in his hands, you could say, when he saw that Kamadheno, that Surabhi, that Parashurama's father had, he wanted it. He thought that this is the only thing that I lack, that I am missing. I want this Kamadheno. And therefore he encouraged his men to steal that Kamadheno from Jamadagni, from Parashurama's father. And this was the end of Kartavirya Arjuna, the beginning of his end. Because of that, Lord Parashurama killed Kartavirya Arjuna. He cut off his thousand hands, and then he cut off his head also. Actually, Kartavirya Arjuna was cursed before that by Vasishta when Kartavirya was traveling all over the place.
And once he burned one forest which belonged to Vasishtha Muni. And Vasishtha cursed him by saying that just as you destroyed my forest, which was very dear to me, you will be also destroyed by a more powerful personality. You will be destroyed by the powerful Brahmana. Therefore, Parashurama killed him. It's interesting that Lord Parashurama is also very interesting personality, you could say. He still lives somewhere in India, on Mahendra Mountain, and we know that Lord Balarama and Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all met him there. They went to South India, and on their way there, they met Parashurama on Mahendra Mountain. And Parashurama is one of those avatars that come during Vaivasvata Manu's reign, during his Manvantara. And Parashurama is one of those few Chiranjivas who stay on the earth till the end of that Manvantara. We know that Parashurama, Ashwatthama, Bali Maharaj, Vamanadev, and Vyasa, Hanuman, Kripacharya, Vibhishana, they all will remain on this earth till the end of the Manvantara. And then they will go to their respective sacred spiritual abodes. But Parashurama will still remain here. Parashurama, in the next Manvantara, he will become one of the seven sages, Saptarishis, in the next Manvantara. So Parashurama, his life here on this earth, although he came many million years ago, he still is here, and his life is very, very long. And actually, Parashurama came many millions of years ago. Rupa Goswami says that in his Lago Bhagavatamrita, that some people say that he came in the 17th cycle of yugas, and some say that he came in the 22nd cycle of yugas. That will make him come at least 6 or 7 million years ago. He came. Oh, I'm sorry, at least 22 or 45 million years ago. And after 7 millions of years after his coming to this earth, he participated in Lord Rama's pastimes. And then, after another 18 million of years, he again participated in Lord Krishna's pastimes. We know that he met Lord Rama and he offered him to... He was at first angry with him because Lord Rama broke his guru's bow, Lord Shiva's bow. But then, when he saw Lord Rama and he saw that this is actually the incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Parashurama is, by the way, not the full manifestation of the Supreme Lord. He is Shakti Avesha Avatar. He is a jiva who has such a power that he is a Shakti Avesha Avatar. Lord invested him so many powers. But then he also met Krishna and Balaram. Actually, before the very first battle that Krishna and Balaram had with Jarasandha, they didn't have their weapons there. And they met Parashurama on the top of Pravarshana Mountain, or in Harivamsa it's called Gomanta Mountain. And Parashurama gave them advice how to engage Jarasandha in their first battle. And Parashurama said that before this battle you will receive all your weapons. And therefore Lord Krishna received his Sudarshana Chakra from the sky, as it stated in Harivamsa. He received his also his club, and also his bow, Sharanga bow. And Lord Balarama received his plow at that place, at that time, because of Lord Parashurama. And actually, when we read the following verses, in one of the next verses, verse 28, it is stated that when Parashurama was chasing Kartavirya Arjuna, he took with him many kinds of weapons. He took his axe, his arrows, his bow, and his shield. So that is four kinds of weapons. And if you think about it, you will probably see that this is not actually possible to take all those weapons in two hands. So this is a kind of hint that Parashurama sometimes manifested four hands. And it is confirmed in Hari Bhakti Vilas, where it is stated that the deity of Parashurama should have four hands, and he holds these four types of weapons in his four hands. And sometimes he can manifest two hands, two arms, in which he holds his axe, his main weapon. And Lord Parashurama appeared as a Brahmana, but he acted as a Kshatriya, which was quite interesting. We all know that story when Parashurama's father, Jamadagni, his father actually, Richika Muni, he wanted to marry one girl, Satyavati, and her father didn't want to give his daughter into marriage to him. He didn't see Richika Muni as suitable match for his daughter, so therefore he put this condition that you please bring me 1,000 horses with black ear, each having black ear. And Richika Muni said okay. He went to Lord Varuna, he begged him for these 1,000 horses, each having a black ear. Varuna gave him those horses, and Richika brought those horses to Gadha, and Gadha said okay, I will give you my daughters. In that way they were married. And once when Richika Muni was performing a Putreshti Yagya, a sacrifice which was meant for producing a child for both his wife and his mother-in-law, his wife's mother. And he prepared sacrificial rice that both of those ladies had to eat. And he went to take bath. And when he went away, his mother-in-law, somehow or other, she saw that, you know, her daughter's rice is better than her own. And he wanted that rice, she wanted that rice, and therefore she asked for that rice, and they kind of changed those sacrificial rice. And when Richika Muni came back, he understood what happened. He said to his wife, he told her that, you have committed a terrible thing. Because of this, your son will become a fierce Kshatriya. And your brother, means your mother's son, will become a powerful Brahmana. And when his wife heard that, she begged forgiveness, and she said that, no, I don't want a fierce Kshatriya as my son. I want a Brahmana as my son, because you're a Brahmana, and my mother is the wife of a Kshatriya. So therefore, please do something and make my son a great Brahmana. And Richika Muni said, okay, your son will be a powerful Brahmana, but your grandson will be a fierce Kshatriya. Therefore, Jamadagni was one of the very powerful, most important actually, Brahmanas in this Manvantara, because he is one of the seven rishis right now. And his son, Parashurama, became a great Kshatriya, a fierce Kshatriya. And then we know that Parashurama acted like Kshatriya for some time, but then he gave up his Kshatriya dharma, you could say, and he just acted like peaceful, intelligent Brahmana. He didn't kill Kshatriyas anymore. At some point he stopped when his purpose of coming to this earth was fulfilled. And then we know that Parashurama's idea basically was better not to have any Kshatriyas at all than to have bad Kshatriyas. Better not to have any Kshatriyas at all. Therefore he annihilated all the Kshatriyas on earth 21 times. But even that is not to be taken literally, because we know that there were some Kshatriyas who were saved from the anger of Parashurama. We know that story from the Bhagavatam, that there was one Balika who was later called Narikavacha. He was protected from Parashurama's anger by women. Women surrounded him and they protected him, and therefore Parashurama did not kill him. He couldn't kill him. Therefore he was called Narikavacha, protected by women. And from him he was also called Mulaka, the root of the further Kshatriya race. And also we know that Balika was actually a good Kshatriya, because in his line came Maharaja Katvanga. And Katvanga is quite a famous personality. We know that he was participating in battles on the side of demigods, and when they gave him him some blessings, he asked, how long will I live? They told him, you will live only for one moment, one muhurta. And therefore Katvanga came down to the earth planet and he concentrated on the Lord. And Katvanga was such a great Kshatriya that actually he was not killed by Parashurama, not accidentally. He was not spared accidentally. He was actually purposefully not killed, because Katvanga was a very great kshatriya. He was very much devoted to brahmanas. And the very reason why Parashurama was killing different kshatriyas, because they disrespected the brahmanas. But Katvanga was very disrespectful to brahmanas. He once said, Name brahma kulat prana kulat daivan nachatmaja nashiyo namahirajyam nadarashchati vallabha. My life is not as dear to me as the brahmanas who are worshipped by my family. My kingdom, land, wife, children and wealth are not dear to me. And later on in Katvanga's dynasty came Maharaja Raghu and Maharaj Dasharath, whose son was Lord Rama, of course. And then we know that there was another line of kshatriyas who were not annihilated by Parashurama, and they were actually the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna. Besides having 1,000 hands, Kartavirya also had 1,000 sons, and among those 1,000 sons, only 5 were saved from the anger of Parashurama. And one of them was called Madhu, and his son was Vrishnya. And we all know that the Lord is called Madhava and Varshneya. Therefore, in the line of Kartavirya Arjuna, Lord Krishna later came in his line. Therefore, his line was not totally bad. Some sons of Kartavirya Arjuna were good kshatriyas and they were saved from the anger of Parashurama. And when Parashurama killed all those kshatriyas, we know that he filled some ponds, some lakes, he created some lakes in Kurukshetra and Samanta Panchaka filled with blood of those kshatriyas. And this is actually the very interesting and important connection between Parashurama Lila and Krishna Lila. Because Lord Parashurama created those lakes, and later on, many millions years ago, 18 million years ago, Lord Krishna came to that place. And on that place happened one of the most esoteric and most important things in Krishna Lila for us, for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. The meeting between Vrajavasis, and specifically Shrimati Radharani, and Lord Krishna. And in that place was performed the first Ratha Yatra in history, because Shrimati Radharani and other gopis, they wanted to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. They wanted to take him back from all those elephants, horses, these tumultuous sounds of conchals, etc. So, Lord Parashurama created a cause, you could say, for Lord Krishna to come later to that place. And because Parashurama was such a powerful personality, he transformed those lakes of blood. Blood is an impure thing, right? It's contaminating. But Parashurama, by his power, he could transform that blood into something very pure. It is stated in many Puranas, Parashurama is a prominent figure in many Puranas. In Skanda Purana, it is said that one who takes bath in that lake, in that Samanta Panchaka, he becomes free from all sins and from all sufferings. And therefore, Lord Parashurama could transform this impure thing into a purifying sacred place, which removes sins and sufferings. And it's interesting that when Dvarakavasis, those who came with Lord Krishna to Samanta Panchaka on the pretext of solar eclipse, they were bathing in those 5 lakes, and they were praying not to become free from sins, not to become free from sufferings. They said, Krishna no bhakti rastu iti. May we all have Krishna bhakti. We want Krishna bhakti. This is the attitude with which a Vaishnava approaches different holy places. And this also shows how powerful Krishna Bhakti is, because we all know that there were 2 sages who were rivals, you could say, who had some kind of quarrels between themselves, Vishwamitra and Vasishta. And Jamadagni was very close to Vishwamitra, because he was related to him, family relation. And because of that, Vasishta was somewhat also, he had a little, you could say, contention with Jamadagni also. And this story with Kamadhenu is also very similar to that story with Vishwamitra and Vasishtha having a quarrel because of Kamadhenu, but I will not touch that right now. And because of this friendship of Jamadagni with Vishwamitra, Vasishtha was a little angry on both of them. But then we see from the Bhagavatam that because of Krishna Katha, all of them, several times, a number of times, they came together in one assembly to hear Krishna Katha. So in this way, Krishna Katha is uniting even those people who are enemies or rivals or adversaries. Parashurama and Vasishtha, and sometimes even Vishwamitra, they were present, for instance, they were present when Parashurama's disciple Bhishmadev was leaving this planet Earth and was giving his instructions to Pandavas. Also, all of them, all three of them, were present when Yudhishthira performed fire sacrifice, Rajasuya sacrifice. All of them, all three of them, were present when Shukadeva Goswami narrated Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaja Parikshit in Shukartal. So therefore, Krishna Bhakti is a powerful thing. Even those who have inimical feelings, they can come together and hear Krishna Katha in one place. I would like to conclude with a little quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is directly related to our topic of Sankirtana being the yagya of this age. In the Vedas, especially in Rig Veda and also in some Upanishads, it is stated that sacrificial fire has seven flames and they are named differently, and in Mundaka Upanishad they are described, and then Mundaka Upanishad criticizes those people who think that performing yagyas, ritualistic ceremonies of Karmakanda, is the goal of life, and they think that Svarga, which is attained by those sacrifices, is the highest destination. And they don't know that when their punya is exhausted, they will have to return to the earth. And then the Upanishad speaks that well-known verse that Srila Prabhupada would oftentimes quote, that Pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmano nirvedama yannastya kritah kritena tad vigyanartam sagurumeva bhigachet samihpani shrotriyam brahmanishtam. Seeing the true nature of the higher worlds attained by pious karma, a brahmana does not desire them. To learn transcendental subject matter, one must approach the spiritual master. In doing so, he should carry fuel to burn in sacrifice. The symptom of such a spiritual master is that he is expert in understanding the Vedic conclusion, and therefore he constantly engages in the service of the Lord, Brahmanishtam. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once gave a wonderful comparison between seven flames of yagya, which is described here in Mundaka Upanishad, and the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the way, he lamented that there are no commentaries on the Upanishads written in the school of Rupa Goswami. He said that there are many commentaries on the Upanishads. Some of them are written by the Mayavadis, Advaitavadis. Some of them are written by Dvaitavadis. But both of them are not really up to the point. They are not perfect. And most of the Vaishnava commentaries on the Upanishads are written by the Narayana Upasakas, by those who worship Lord Narayana. But alas, there is no even a single commentary on the Upanishads written in the line of Rupa Goswami, the Rasa Acharya. And he said, this is taken from the Bengali magazine, Gaudiya, the main mouthpiece, you could say, of the Gaudiya Math. This was said in 1931. At the portal of the Sri Chaitanya Math, which is situated in the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Mayapur, shall be written, Bhaktir Vijayate. Bhakti is ever glorious. In the center, near the Avidya Harana Sarasvat Natya Mandir, should be written, Sankirtanam Vijayate Taram. Sankirtana is always superlatively glorious. There, at every step, Chetodarpana Marjana, at every step, Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapana, at every step, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitarana, at every step, Vidya Vadhu Jivana, at every step, Anandam Buddhi Vardana, at every step, Purnamrita Svadana, at every step, Sarvatma Snapana. There will be a fire pit constantly blazing with the seven-tongued flame of Sri Krishna Sankirtana, so that even at the time of universal destruction, the fire of Sri Krishna Sankirtana will not be extinguished, and Sri at Sri Chaitanya Math. It will remain always burning. From this fire pit of Sankirtana, people will become purified by accepting the name and mantra of Sri Krishna through initiation. And thereby, householders will accomplish all their samskaras. When that happens, instead of mundane Brahmanism and absorption in householder life, there will be a revival of absorption in Sankirtana and activities of the Matha. Next to Radha Kunda in Sri Chaitanya Math should be written Prema Vijayate Tamam. The highest degree of glory reposes in pure love of Krishna. There will be no trace of lust or desire for individual sense gratification. Here will reign supreme the wholesale gratification of Sri Sri Radha Govinda's senses. If the flame of Chetodarpana Marjana does not shine brightly, then the spotless mirror of the heart will be covered by the dust and detritus of anarthas, such as mutual bad feelings, fault-finding, envy, duplicity, and hatred. With the spread of various weeds, many forests of anarthas will be created by which Bhava Mahadavagni will simply increase. Whoever is intelligent now or will be in the future can realize the victorious nature of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtana movement. Those of little brain will accept other processes and goals, while those who are intelligent worship by Sankirtana, that great personality who is golden in complexion. May the seven-tongued fire of Sankirtana, which is fired up by the intelligent, remain burning constantly at Sri Chaitanya Math. The meditation of Satya Yuga, the elaborate sacrifices of Treta Yuga, and the grand temple worship of Dvapara Yuga will all be accomplished simply by Sri Krishna Chaitanya's Sankirtana. Because all four legs of Dharma were intact in Satya Yuga, everyone could perform meditation. With three legs of Dharma intact in Treta Yuga, people could perform sacrifices. With two legs remaining in Dvapara Yuga, people could perform temple worship. But in Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya comes as a deliverer of the fallen and introduces Sankirtana, given the easy opportunity to simultaneously accomplish the goals attainable through meditation, sacrifice, and temple worship. Shri Krishna Sankirtanam ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radha Madhava Shtasakya Vrinda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. I don't think we have time for questions, unfortunately. I was asked to stop by 9 o'clock sharp. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.